The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
Comforting classics.
Fresh new content.
Something old.
Something new.
Join Emma and Lucy each month for a new podcast from Fan Critical.
Hello, and welcome to the latest episode of Something Old, Something New, which I'm sure is long awaited by much of our audience, as it's been some time since we've gotten together to talk about what we've watched something old and what we've watched something new. If you have forgotten my voice, I'll reintroduce myself. My name is Emma, and I'm joined by the lovely Lucy.
Hello, welcome back, everyone, and welcome back to us, because it's been quite a while.
Some time. However, both of us very excited to be here recording and talking about the things that we've watched lately as part of the Fan Critical repertoire. I'm sure this will come as quite a welcome respite from the gruff tones of John, Len, and the dulcet tones of Gaz. He's my favourite today at the moment. Don't know why. Just he is.
Gleds.
It's happened. It's done. If you have forgotten what it is that we do here at Something Old, Something New, the premise is very simple. It is essentially what it says on the tin. We talk about something that we've watched that's old and something that we've watched that is new to us. This can often end up in long, winding conversations about how we feel about said programmes. So today, I would like to start with Lucy's Something Old. What have you watched? An old favourite, a comforting classic lately, my Lucy?
I mean, neither of those things. It was basically a film I've already seen. So kind of deviating from the, beloved classics or comforting favourites. But it was a film, you know, when you're like, oh, yeah, I've seen this. And then you watch it, you're like, have I seen this? I didn't really remember much of it, but I know I've seen it.
Happens to me a lot.
So it was a film from 2013. So we're talking nearly 10 years. So it's kind of old. And it is the Ron Howard film Rush, about the rivalry between Formula One drivers James Hunt and Niki Lauda.
Huh.
Yes. Have you seen said film?
I don't think I have, Lucy. However, maybe I have and I'm not sure if I have.
Yeah, I mean, it is quite, you know, there's a few memorable bits. It's not a forgettable film. I think it was just maybe I was tired the first time I watched it. But yeah, I watched that again. It was it a Sunday night? Yeah. Ooh. No, what day is it? Maybe, no, it wasn't, wouldn't have been Saturday. Maybe it was a Friday night film.
Wouldn't have been Saturday because that was Eurovision.
So
come on, priorities.
Yeah, it was definitely not Saturday and it wasn't Sunday because I was asleep by about 8 on Sunday.
Maybe it was a Friday night film.
It was. Interesting story. Sorry, guys, for diverging so much with tales of what I may or may not have watched on various days. So it's a really good film about said rivalry in the kind of, I guess, the sort of 70s into the 80s between, I think it's just the 70s, to be fair, between the English James Hunt, who is very much playboy character, very much a ladies' man, very much a party boy, played by Chris Hemsworth, the hideous, disfigured troll that he is. And, you know, this is 10 years
so
ago when he was particularly heinous to look at. And Daniel Brühl, who is not hideous, but they do make him up to look. I mean, Niki Lauda had sort of buck teeth, and he's just sort of in the film.
I love Daniel Brühl.
He's great.
Such a good actor.
He is great in this. He is not a very likable character because he's an Austrian guy. He died in 2019. He's obviously a legend of the F1 world, but he wasn't particularly likable. He didn't set out to be likable. He thought that was a fool's game, and he thought that he just needed to be honest and direct about everything, and that sort of human emotion was just an extra that he didn't need. But it is a really good performance from him. And they're just such different characters, Hunt and Lauda, but the one sort of inspires the other in many different ways as it sort of transpires in the film. And yeah, he is terribly disfigured in a crash. I mean, I don't know if this is a spoiler. I mean, it's public record.
It's a spoiler for me, but that's exciting.
Okay, sorry.
I'm happy with it.
But I won't go into it anymore because I do think you should watch it. But yes, the rivalry pushes them each to excel. And some of the race, because I'm not into racing whatsoever, but I do like a biopic. And I think it's quite interesting to watch films about kind of well-known figures that you know literally nothing about. I do find that quite interesting. And the racing scenes, the way they're shot, they're really exciting. It's like, oh, like crashes and going around bends and who's going to win? Not understanding the rules, but, you know, still being moved and excited. So Daniel Brühl is very good as Niki Lauda, and Chris Hemsworth's excellent as James Hunt. Like, he's just, there's so much charisma there, obviously. There's some pathos with his sort of just lack of focus in life. And yeah, I think we do tend to go off on these tangents, well, I do anyway, about actors or actresses and what you kind of want for them. And I feel like I just want a lot more for Chris Hemsworth because I think he can do it. I'm not enjoying this kind of
typecast pretty boy
Netflix action man thing. That's the thing. It's not even pretty boy. It's like, let the boy be pretty, okay? Why does he just have to be the, like, steroid pig, like, uber buff action hero? There's more to him.
I did think he did really well with Bad Times at the LOL, yes. Actually. I thought he played, that was a really unique, unusual.
There's more to him than just his, you know, looks. Poor guy.
Yeah.
But yeah, I really, you know, I was thinking about this when I was watching it and after, because he has to do an English accent, which is also decent. And
that was going to be my question.
No, it's good. Yeah, I was watching it with Aaron. Ooh. And he was like, his accent's decent. Kind of sort of posh, kind of posh, but not fully posh party boy accent. And I was thinking of actors who've gone from that kind of, maybe not action role, but someone like Matthew McConaughey. Now, I'm not going to put him in the same bracket acting-wise, but I mean, he broke the mould from the rom-coms. And I would love to see Chris Hemsworth in a rom-com, like just as a baseline. Mm. Give us that, for God's sake. The pumped-up action movies, because he's great as Thor, obviously. He is,
yeah.
He is kind of the secret weapon. Not a secret anymore, but, you know, he really gives the humour to the whole franchise of the Avengers, and now he's obviously got the new film coming out soon. So Thor's great, but I don't like how he's gone from that, and it just seems to be a lack. I don't know if it's his a lack of imagination, or if it's his agents that are like, you know, you can get millions and millions by doing these action films. You know, you obviously are very interested in fitness. You know, we can work that into it. I just would like to see him act more because he is.
I'd like to see him do something a bit grittier.
Something he's funny
or
as
a Hallmark
fuck.
Christmas film.
Yes, I would I'd love okay him in a jumper.
I'd be okay with that.
He's a funny guy. He's naturally funny. He's got good comic timing. Get him in something lighthearted, or yeah, something a bit grittier. Maybe something romantic. Just I'm bored of the action films, but this is good because I was watching it thinking I just haven't really seen many films where he is a character rather than an archetype. You know.
That's really, maybe actually I will watch it just for
that. I would watch it, and it's not overly long.
Yeah.
And it's two really good performances about, you know, a sport I know nothing about. Natalie Dormer pops up, and Olivia Wilde and her insane cheekbones. So that's always nice.
Oh, in fact, the two of them have insane cheekbones. Yeah. So that is some casting magic there.
No, it was good. I enjoyed watching it again. I think I probably got more out of it. And it's that thing of when you watch something that's about real people, you got to go back and Google them. And the likeness is pretty good between the two of them. And yeah, it's just good performance. It's just a solid, like, enjoyable biopic, I think. Quite old-fashioned in its way. It didn't try and, like, reinvent the wheel. It didn't try and do anything
just
special.
Is what it is.
It just told the story of these two men and their, you know, their rivalry that spurred them both onto greatness. Yeah, I really enjoyed watching it. I'd probably give it 4 blueberries.
And Lucy, just in case anyone's forgotten, the blueberry system.
Yes, my mistake. The blueberry system is how we rate the things that we review. So 5 being the best, 0 being the worst, and you can't have halves, so it's a harsh but fair scale, I'd say. And this would get 4, which is good.
That is excellent.
Good, yeah, it's good.
I mean, it's not often that stuff gets a 4 anymore. And especially when you're going back to watch something that, I mean, what's that, 9 years ago?
Yes, yeah.
Nearly 10 years old. And not a lot of stuff is standing the test of time lately, I will admit. Although a film by something old will. That's really interesting. Oh, I definitely think a biopic is always interesting to watch if they do it right.
Yeah.
And I think, like, if you're not trying to pretend to be something else or embellishing for the sake of film.
It didn't try and tell too many stories. Great. It was really like, yeah, you've got a bit of their background, their personal lives, but it was about their rivalry and that alone, really. So it didn't pad it out with unnecessary scenes or, you know, when they try and drop in, like, I don't know, like political references. Like, yeah, this is about racing. It's about these guys, very different characters and how those characters informed how they performed, that kind of thing. Yeah, it was really interesting. And I think anything that makes you want to learn more about the subject after you've watched it is worthwhile. And it succeeded in some way in its aim. And, you know, Ron Howard.
Definitely.
He's got a few good people as well, hasn't he?
You often don't go wrong with a Ron Howard film.
It's not going to be like shit. It's really going to be enjoyable. It's going to be watchable. And that is what this is. So yeah, Rush. It was on Netflix, I believe. Or maybe Amazon.
Exciting.
I don't know. But
one of the streaming services, none of which we're sponsored not. By. But if you'd like to, we'll be up
other streaming services are available, but I think it was Amazon, actually. But yeah, if you do watch it, Emma, I'd like to know what you think.
I will let you know, for sure. Oh, thank you, Lucy. We're going to take a really different turn here, because it's time for my something new. And it's sort of a weird one. So my something new is a new BBC drama adaptation of one of my favourite books of all time. And I don't know if you've read this. So it's a book by an author called Kate Atkinson.
Yes.
Who I think is amazing. And I'm gonna read you the book synopsis.
I think I know. Yes, you go on. I think I know the one you mean. But I haven't watched it.
And if you haven't read it, I highly recommend it. So this is a bit of a book/adaptation. So what if you had the chance to live your life again and again until you finally got it right? During a snowstorm in England in 1910, a baby is born and dies before she can take her first breath. During a snowstorm in England in 1910, the same baby is born and lives to tell the tale. What if there were second chances and third chances? In fact, an infinite number of chances to live your life. Would you eventually be able to save the world from its own inevitable destiny? And would you even want to? Life After Life, name of said book and adaptation, follows Ursula Todd as she lives through the turbulent events of the last century again and again. With wit and compassion, Kate Atkinson finds warmth even in life's bleakest moments and shows an extraordinary ability to evoke the past. So they finally did an adaptation of this. And so this book came out in 2013 and it is actually followed by a sequel called A God in Ruins, which is also excellent, but not as good as Life After Life. I remember reading this probably about 5 or 6 years ago. And being utterly blown away by it. It's a fascinating, fascinating story. And essentially it's, you know, at various different stages, how it's given me Loki vibes, actually, weirdly. You know, if you made a different decision, how your life would fork in the path.
Like sliding doors.
And if you weren't... Yes. Well, I'm going to go really retro. And so they've made an adaptation of it. And it is a BBC drama. And I will say, only watched the first episode. But I wanted to talk about it because I'm very excited. It's got a really interesting sort of quite British cast that you would recognise from certain things, but nobody who's really a super famous actor. So you've got Sian Clifford, who people will probably... Yes, indeed, Big Sis in Fleabag. And then it also stars Sean Delaney, who's been in a couple of things, including Killing Eve. And he did have a small cameo in Venom, Let There Be Carnage, apparently. So kind of faces that you'd recognise from British television, but that you might not necessarily know for anything particular. And I've got to say, having read it, I wasn't sure how they would be able to put this on screen. It's one of those books because it flits between so many things. But I've got to say, the first episode has absolutely nailed it for me. Essentially, they kind of a bit like you've got in that synopsis from the book. So they repeat it. You know, the baby is born and dies. The baby is born and lives. Something else happens. Something else happens. And all the while, it's narrated, sort of interjectedly, interspersed with narration. Mm. There you go. This is a fancy way of saying it. About, you know, and what if that baby lived? What if this didn't happen? What if this didn't happen? It's a four-part series, And knowing what happens in the book, I'm very interested to see how they continue through with it. Just unbelievably good so far. And it's, of course, it's set at the outset, or just before the outset of World War One. So there's all of that kind of beautiful staging. It's in the English countryside. Have you read Life After Life?
I've not. My mum has really kept going on about me watching this show, and I just haven't yet. And you know, sometimes people go, you have to watch it. I'm like, don't tell me what to do. I'm not going to watch it. But
don't you tell me what to do.
I've heard really good things. I have read the Jack. Is it Jackson, the guy, the detective? When Will There Be Good News? You know that book?
Oh, I don't know if I've read.
Yeah,
that one.
I read that, which I enjoyed. And I think there was an adaptation of that as well on BBC with Jason Isaacs, I think.
Interesting.
But yeah, no, I've heard of it. It's one of those things like I'd never heard of it until my mum mentioned that it was on. And I feel like in this world of streaming, you know, there's things that are on terrestrial TV that we just miss. But I saw a few adverts for it.
Massively.
I think the danger with these sort of things like the Groundhog Day effect is that how do you show things happening again and again without it being boring? But do you think that they get around that?
Well, I'm not sure how they do in the long run. I think so far they've done quite a good job of it. I know that the story becomes more complex as time goes on, but I think that there's so far they've kind of gotten to grips with it quite well. I think it definitely helps that Kate Atkinson was involved in the creation of this. So, you know, and it's one of those books that you never forget. So I'm really intrigued to see how they do it, because it could go awfully wrong. I'm only one episode in, but I was so excited by it when I watched it yesterday. That was like, I've got to talk about this. Because originally, my Something New was going to be that we came second in Eurovision on Saturday. And we'll give a quick note for that is unbelievable. We've not even had points for about 10 years. And then I watched this and I thought, actually, no, this is perfect, because it covers all of the things that we love as people when we talk about stuff, Luce. You know, it's a book I really enjoyed. I've read it more than once, which I don't do very often with books.
Is it a long book? Because I just finished a book and I could be in the market for a new one, you know. Is it very sad?
I don't think it's massive.
I don't know if I can deal with sad.
Some of it can be, and I'd say about watching it that I definitely recommend that you do. So far, I'd recommend you watch episode one. What I can say about episodes 2, 3, 4, we'll have to wait and see. But I think you have to be in the right frame of mind. So it's kind of a recommendation for when you are feeling a bit pensive about life. You know, questions like, if you had a gun and, you know, you knew Hitler was going to grow up to be who he was, would you shoot him as a baby, kind of thing? That sort of 100% thing. 100%
yes.
I definitely would.
I don't know.
Would I shoot any other baby? No. Hitler, probably.
Just take Hitler and raise him away from hate and just hope that
maybe
it turns
shoot
out differently.
Him.
Probably would be my thing. And then he'd probably inevitably, I would actually turn him into Hitler unknowingly. And it would all be my fault.
Well, I've said this about your parenting skills. Lisa,
I'm raising a little mini Hitler. No, I'm not. That's not
funny. I am 100% joking. Your daughter is adorable. And definitely not a mini Hitler. But it does raise all of these kind of moral questions, not just about things like that, which is quite a big, you know, it's quite a big moral question if you would do that, you know. But also things like just the little choices that you make in life and how they can affect where your path goes. And I think it could be really interesting. I'm slightly on tenterhooks with it in that I'm not sure if it's going to go really wrong. But I think if she's been involved in the creation of it, then I feel less terrified that it's going to be badly done.
I mean, it's getting good ratings from my mum.
And all so like
not, I don't think she's read the book, but as a standalone show, it seems to be very positively received. It seems like it's good.
Me and your mum seem to have similar tastes in television. So far, I'm going to say probably very good. So that is my Something New. And to Blueberry it, I would also give this 4 blueberries so far for episode one. I will report back as to how I feel about the rest of the series. But so far, all well and
good. I'm interested to hear further.
I shall keep you apprised of the situation.
Please do.
So now time for us to trundle on to your something new, yes. Lucy.
So this is, again, I watched this a little while ago because we haven't done one of these. I haven't been able to discuss it with you. And it's funny because I was probably at like on the, I think there's 10 episodes in this show. It's a show. And ooh. I got to maybe episode 8 or 9 and it just hit me. I was like, Emma would love this. Emma would literally love this show. Why has this not occurred to me?
Oh, what? You've been saving it for this.
Not told her about this? And I have actually just kept it to myself until now to talk to you about it.
Oh,
because
exciting.
It really hit me like a ton of bricks. I was like, this is like the ideal show for Emma. I just think you'd love it. It's called Only Murders in the Building. Have you heard of it?
Right. So I've seen it flashed up at me a lot on Disney+.
You must watch it.
I've not yet
watched it.
Because I was unsure.
Absolutely must watch it. So it's on Disney+, as you say. I believe it's originally a Hulu production. It stars comedy great Steve Martin and Martin Short, who Martin Short in particular is absolutely hilarious. And Selena Gomez, the pop singer.
That was why I was slightly hesitant.
I mean, she is an actress. I remember her in Wizards of Wizardly Place, Waverly Place, whatever.
Waverly Place.
Wizardly Place. I want to live in the Wizardly Place.
Wizardly Place.
She's very good in that. And she's very good in this. And it's a show set in an apartment building, quite a swanky one in New York. And it follows three people that live in the flat who are obsessed with murder mystery podcasts, so crime podcasts. And when there is actually a murder in the building, they set out to solve it themselves. You will literally love it, Emma.
Why have I
cannot believe that I haven't told you. But it's just not what you'd expect.
I'm so pleased you saved it for this. Because, like,
it's really, it's so moving in so many ways. Like, I've never actually seen anything like it. There's an episode that's all basically in sign language because there's a deaf character. There's an episode that's all set like it's on a stage show because, I mean, it's not all, but there are scenes because Martin Short's character is like a faded theatre director. There's Steve Martin's character used to be like a detective on a show. There's so many funny cameos as well, which I won't spoil. It's completely unlike anything I've ever seen. Like, it's funny, but it's not just like cheap laughs. It's really got a story that you follow, and there's lots of twists. There's mysteries that like open up into new mysteries. It's so good. Honestly, I really enjoyed watching it. And like I say, I can't think of anything else like it. And it's funny the way, you know, how we absorb podcasts and the kind of the fandom that true crime and like the reporting of these horrible murders and how we're obsessed with listening to them. And how that, when it actually happens in real life, how you kind of you don't treat it like it's real because you're so interested in these murders and you're looking at it like a puzzle to solve rather than somebody's life.
That's
it's
really
so good.
Interesting.
I really cannot recommend it to you specifically, but anyone out there, because it is, you won't probably have seen anything like
it. It's really interesting because I've got some questions for you, but you know, from my perspective, I've seen it. It keeps being flashed up at me constantly.
They know Disney what you're about. They know you'll love it.
Well, clearly, they know my likes and loves in the world, which is true crime. But I think I just looked at it and I had this snap impression that it was just going to be a bit pants because I've never really seen Selena Gomez do a serious role or even I want to say a proper role, and that sounds awful because I'm sure that she's a very good actress. I've just never seen
Wizardly Place.
And Wizardly Place, the Waverleys of Wizardly Place. And I think I just haven't seen Steve Martin do anything good for ages. I just sort of thought, oh, what is this nonsense, and ignored it. And I'm so pleased that you've recommended it to me because actually it sounds right up my street for so many reasons.
It's just so good. Aww. And it takes a little while to get going, but I was just intrigued like from the outset. And she's very good in it, Selena Gomez. She's got such a strange, quite low voice. I even remember that in Waverly Place. Like, she's got quite a deep, warbly almost voice. And her character is so low-key and like almost downbeat. It is interesting to see a show where the young woman in it is not like the vibrant peppy one. She's very low key and very she seems very sad.
That's interesting.
Yeah. And they've all got stories, you know, they've all got a bit of a backstory that unfolds, and yeah, some of the cameos are hilarious, and yeah, it's just, I thought it was so unique and such a good idea, but not in a cheap way, like, oh my god, people that love true crime are just fucking it losers. It kind of does examine why people are so interested in them as well, like, why does it hold such a captive place in so many people's imaginations.
It sounds a lot deeper than what you anticipated.
I just heard, oh, this show's really funny. It's about people that love murder podcasts, and then there's a murder. I was like, oh my god, yeah, well into that. But watching it, I was like, oh my gosh, this is quite profound, a lot of it. Really profound, yeah. Mm. And they do things in the episodes, like, not bottle episodes, like, you know, we talk about them a lot. But, yeah, it'll be a different sort of, not every episode is a different theme, but they will take a theme and apply it to the entire episode. It's really.
I'll be honest. When you said about the theatre themed one, I just kept thinking of the Buffy musical episode.
Yes, yeah. I mean, there's not one where they are. There's nothing like that where they all sing. It's more an auditioning sort of scene for the role. And yeah, I won't go into it too much because I don't really want to spoil it. Yeah, really.
Tangential question. Have you read The Thursday Murder Club by
Richard Osman? Annoys me. I don't want to read his book.
Well, can I tell you that it's a similar premise, except for little old people in a nursing home, and it is really, really good.
Okay.
So there's it's kind of similar because you've got all these little old people in a retirement village. One of them's, we think, is an ex-policeman. Someone else is a little bit mad, and somebody dies. But not like an old person dies in a retirement home. Somebody is murdered. And then they get all up and involved and try to solve the murder. It's so adorable and funny and touching. It's one of the best new things I've read in a while.
Maybe I will then.
And it doesn't feel very Richard Osman-esque. And there is,
I just find him a bit smug. Bit of a smug man. But I mean, another aspect of it, I think, for us is interesting is because I don't think I actually mentioned this, but they start a podcast to solve it. So there's a lot of things where I'm like, oh, yeah, you just relate to it because we obviously do a podcast. Stuff with like the mics and the equipment and stuff. And I'm like, huh, it's like us. Yeah, it's just, yeah, I really recommend it. Like, it's just...
I may well actually go and watch this after we finish recording.
I would love to talk to someone about it. And I find it funny even now that... I didn't realise how much you'd love it while watching it, and also I haven't mentioned it, but I just thought I'll do that on the next Something Old, and then we just haven't done it for ages, and now I'm so happy I get to talk about it because I really thought it was great.
Do you know what? It's made my day because I've had a bit of a long day, and I was looking forward to talking to you anyway because I wanted to talk to you about all of the fun stuff that we've been watching. And it's kind of just given me a little highlight, and I'm kind of glad you've done it live on pod.
You must watch it. I mean, I know it's annoying people say that, you don't have to. I think you'd love it, and if you do, like, I'm look forward to talking about it. And there's a new season coming in June next month, so if you get it done, and also the episodes are like 35-40 minutes, so
perfect.
Very easy to binge. I would give it 5 blueberries just because of how different it was and how kind of how layered it was, and just how much I enjoyed it, and how we were like, it's this, that's the thing, that's the twist, and then you're like, oh wait, no, oh but maybe that's a double bluff, oh wait, no,
it sounds really clever,
she knew it. It's like, oh no, yeah, you just, there's so many layers within the characters, within the plot, everything. Yeah, I think you'd really enjoy it, and I recommend it to our listeners as well. If you've got access to Hulu or Disney, it's on the Star part of
my favorite part of Disney Plus is Stars. Or whatever it's called,
whatever it is,
all of the stuff like.
It's a good aspect.
Well, I've got two relatively lengthy plane journeys coming up at the end of the month. Where
are you going?
I'm going to the United States of America for work.
Oh, nice. Where in the great US of A?
I'm going to Boston, Massachusetts.
Oh my god, my favorite American accent. As
I have never
been. Long time listeners.
Not going to try and do it, but does mean I've got 7 hours there and 7 hours back, which is possibly the whole of this show. So.
Oh, definitely. You'll get the first season done like within half of that time, I would have thought.
Oh, the thrill.
Yeah. But you need to watch it properly as well. Like, you need to actually not be dozing on the plane.
In fairness, the flight back is overnight, so I think I will be asleep. But there is some time for me to be able to watch and peace and quiet in a hotel room for 4 days. So
I cannot wait. Oh, brilliant. Yeah, you'll have to let me know how you get on with it, because it's, very... And I think kind of underrated, because it's not... I've heard people word of mouth talk about it, but stuff like Ted Lasso gets really hyped up, and I think this is better.
Well, I am thoroughly, thoroughly excited for something new to watch, and that you've enjoyed something so much.
Yeah, I really loved it. And it's nice because I've kind of forgot about it. And now that I think back, I'm like, oh, yeah, that was just great. What a great show.
I feel like we're going to end on a bit of a lull now. But I'm going to give you my something old, and there's going to be no to-do about this. It is the 2013 film, The Hobbit, The Desolation of Smaug.
Oh, that's so shit. Well, it's not actually. It's not. It's not shit.
Do you know what? I'd watched
it's
an unexpected...
It's just shit. It's the best of... Oh, no. Which one's that one? The last one?
The middle one.
Oh, no, they're shit. The first one's okay. The rest are really shit. Sorry.
So I'd watched An Unexpected Journey, which I love, and I really enjoy... The Hobbit trilogy, just in general. I've got really fond memories of it. I remember going to see them all at the IMAX in London when I lived there, when they first came out, and like just being amazed by it, because I think it's the first thing I've ever seen in 3D properly. And, you know, I'm a massive fan of The Hobbit. Now, I will caveat all of what I'm about to say by the fact that the book The Hobbit is one of my favourite books of all time. Again, yeah, it's a bit of a theme here. And they did do some shit with these films that they probably shouldn't have done and definitely didn't need to.
Stop adding female elves in.
Nobody
why
needs
is Legolas
this shit.
There?
No one needs
something I never thought
shit.
I'd say, but why is Legolas here?
Just nonsense.
Do one film.
However,
that's 3 hours long.
However, for a Sunday afternoon, I really enjoy it. It's no Unexpected Journey. But the desolation.
It's no Lord of the Rings.
Well, it's no Lord of the Rings. But the desolation of Smaug, and I can't say it normally because I have to say it with a weird voice. Just, I find it really entertaining. I think it's just.
Wait, what actually happens in that one? Because I can't even remember.
It's the one where you get. The one that looks like Orlando Bloom but isn't Orlando Bloom.
His dad?
No.
Thranduil?
No, the man who fires the. Arrow at Smaug.
Bard the Bowman?
Yeah.
Luke Evans. Luke Evans has got a good screen presence.
He's why I enjoy this film, because he's entertaining. And of course, then you've got your love story between Evangeline Lilly and...
Cut it out. I hate it. Sorry.
I just think it's really entertaining. And I watched this on a Sunday afternoon when I will be honest, I was feeling a little inexplicably unwell after a night out on the Saturday before. And it just gave me real, like, Sunday afternoon hangover vibes. And I really, it's funny. I love Richard Armitage. I love Ken Stott. And you can't, like, Martin Freeman is so good.
He's great.
I will then caveat it further by saying this is a three-bloob film. I'm not even drinking, for crying out loud. But it is fun. I just think it's fun.
How would you rank The Hobbits then? What's the best Hobbit? And then what's the second and then what's the third? Presumably the first one's the best because that's the only good one in my mind.
Unexpected Journey, Battle of the Five Armies, Desolation of Smaug.
Okay. I'm not sure if I even watched the last one because I was like, the second one really, I was like, oh, this is turd.
You can't not have finished it.
Did I watch it? What happens?
They have a big fight and they take down everyone.
Who kills Smaug?
I actually can't remember. That's awful.
Exactly. I know exactly who kills Sauron. I know exactly who kills that big fucking orc thing.
Yeah,
in Lord of the Rings.
That's a good point. It is a bit forgettable, isn't it?
Yes, but it's very forgettable.
It was a nice, fun afternoon. It was a comforting watch. Because,
I think sometimes a big epic when you're on the sofa and you don't have to move. Like, I get it. It's just, why wouldn't you watch Lord of the Rings? I just don't understand why.
Because if I'd have started with the Fellowship of the Rings, I'd have watched all of them. And that's 9 hours of my life. Well, actually,
you could have
it's
just
about 12
stuck
hours.
Two towers on and just gone, yeah, middle
no.
film. Middle
no.
diddle.
I don't want to do it. No, I can't. I'm not having that. You really dislike The Hobbits, don't you?
The book, love the book. I just think it was very plain and clear to me that it was about money in a way that Lord of the Rings really wasn't. And I feel like Peter Jackson had a vision with Lord of the Rings and it's basically perfect and they hold the biggest place in my heart. film wise.
They are perfect.
They were like, they were like my Star Wars, you know, when people have that kind of affiliation with film. That's Lord of the Rings for me. So very excited about The Hobbit. That book is tiny. More of a pamphlet.
It's about 150 pages, yeah, if that.
Small book, perfectly formed, brilliant, lovely narrative tale. Yeah, I was going to say get it, but no one can see, so don't worry about it. And you've made basically, what, 9 hours out of this tiny little book? It's about money, and that's very mercenary to me, and it leaves a bad taste. So the first film, you know, the singing dwarves going on for ages, fine. Okay, I get that. I like the Tolkien feel. That's okay. Is that white orc thing even in the book?
Yes.
Is he?
Well, I think
I can't remember. Because I don't remember there being an actual perilous threat like that. It was just really Smaug and all the dwarves arguing.
Yeah, I mean, it was written for his children. It was just adorable.
Yeah, like, so
you know, it was you've a added in story.
You've added in this predatory orc. Okay, fine. You've written in a female dwarf, not dwarf, elf, because of diversity. No, because that's, you've just added more time in. You've brought Legolas back because obviously everybody loves Legolas.
Yeah.
No, that's bullshit. You've made two of the dwarves really handsome. Well, three, actually. Well, two.
Yeah.
Well, they did something to Armitage's nose, I assume. Whatever.
Yeah, it's, I hope just they did, stupid. Otherwise he's had so some then really you've got bad surgery.
A love triangle between two elves and a dwarf. Like, this is not what Tolkien died for. Do you know what I mean? He didn't fight World War One for this. I just don't like what they did, and it really leaves a bad taste in my mouth.
Tolkien did not fight in World War One for you to do this to The Hobbit.
It really didn't. It required, like, you could have padded it out for a 3-hour film if you wanted to. It's the mercenariness of it. I really...
Do you know what?
It was a real missed opportunity. And
it's a really fair point, Lizzie. And I will admit, after I watched the first film, I was like, I enjoyed that as a film, but you're really stretching this out now. How is this going to be a trilogy? Because this should have finished in 3 hours.
The material is thin.
However, I have, over time, learned to let things go. And I've had many traumatising...
What's that like? Because I apparently cannot
challenging.
Let it
go. It's very challenging. You know, think Game of Thrones. Many a show that's
Let's
disappointed me.
That. Yeah.
To the point where now I just enjoy it for what it is. You are correct. It is A, no book, The Hobbit. B, it is no Lord of the Rings. C, you're probably right. It is just a venture for cash.
Money
However,
grab.
It gave me real joy. And I'm giving it 3 blueberries just for that.
Okay. How many would you give the first one?
4.
How many would you give the last one?
3. Lord of the Rings, whole trilogy, 5.
It's all 5. 5's across the board.
Yeah.
No notes.
So, you know, comparatively, it is no Lord of the Rings.
It never was going to be.
No.
So I wasn't expecting that, but I just think 3 fucking films of this. Oh, God.
I knew this was going to land so badly with you.
And you know what? I tried to do the same thing as I did with Lord of the Rings. Like, because I think they came out at Christmas, didn't they? Like, the Lord of the Rings. And you go, and like me and friend of the pod, Charlie, we'd go to everyone. And then it was just like, this is not very good. It's not recapturing the magic of Lord of the Rings. And it's just... just didn't have the same feeling. Stupid CGI. Sorry, I mean, we're not here to slag.
Oh, the CGI is quite bad. I do enjoy Benedict Cumberbatch voicing Smaug, though.
Yeah, you know, good voice actor, great.
Yeah, there you go. Something you can enjoy about it. Legolas's
campy dad, but you don't need Legolas in it.
I hated Legolas's campy dad. Horrible.
I love the weave. Oh my gosh, he's like the best drag queen. Mm-mm. He's like Christine Quinn from Selling Sunset, you know, that
See,
level.
Now, if you watch it with that in mind, much more enjoyable. Okay.
Yeah, he's
so,
quite
you
fun.
Know, take it lightheartedly. It's all utter nonsense. It's also got Stephen Fry in it. He's the mayor of the little human town. They bob around in barrels of fish.
That's
it's just
silly. Stupid.
It's so silly, but it is quite fun. Well, let's move away from the anger-inducing Desolation of Smaug.
it sort of escalated there.
It did. I knew it would, though, because you brought me some real joy and I've just brought you anger, they say.
I don't mind. You know, it's quite energising, I think, sometimes.
Emotions.
It's a rant, isn't
it's a bit
it?
Of emotions. Yeah. Well, we've had a roller coaster. We've had Rush.
God, yeah.
We've rushed through Rush.
Yeah. We did rush through Rush. Rush is good. I recommend it.
We've toiled through Life After Life.
I might try. You say it's only 4 episodes.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, I've only watched the first one. I can't be held responsible for episodes
that's
two,
right.
three,
no,
four.
That's right. No, I'll blame my mum if it's shit.
Yeah,
if
I think you
it.
Should. She did it first. And then we have we've taken a journey to Only Murders in the Building, followed by the anger of the Hobbit, Desolation of Smaug. I just like to say that word. I think that's the only reason I chose it.
Smaug or Smaug?
Smaug.
It's not Schm, though, is it? Smaug. It's just Smaug. Smaug is not
Smaug.
A thing.
Smaug.
You're not Sean Connery.
Yes,
the
I
Desolation
am.
Of Smaug.
The Desolation of Smaug. Oh, and that there, that's our final treat for you all, is our Sean Connery impressions whilst talking about the second installment of The Hobbit. What the joy. What the joy.
He would have improved it if Sean Connery was in it in any capacity.
He improves everything. Just everything.
Yes. May he rest in peace.
May he indeed, dear old Sean. Well, on that note, it's getting late for both of us, so perhaps we should rest in peace, but alively.
Slumber.
Rest in peaceful slumber. To awake again tomorrow.
Pitch black.
I know.
It's not actually dark. I mean, the sun is sort of setting.
It's quite funny.
The room is still light, but because of how the light is hitting me, I just look like I'm ranting into the dark, which is probably a lovely look for.
To be honest, it got a little bit scary when Lucy was ranting quite aggressively about The Hobbit, and just all I can see is the reflection from her glasses through
that
through
is
the
quite
video.
Disturbing,
I'm a little
serial
afraid.
Killer shit. I'm sorry.
And on that note,
put a light on.
Please put a light on at some point, because oh my god,
that's
even worse. I don't know what's upcoming from the rest of the fan critical crew. I reckon there's some stuff from the lads, bit of, you know. 3 minutes
well,
to midnight.
They've done Doctor Strange, haven't they?
They have indeed. And I believe the first few minutes of that are spoiler free. So you can listen into a little bit.
I need to watch it before
you.
I can listen to it.
Indeed.
I don't get to go to the cinema anymore. Such
no,
a shame.
Me neither.
Just never fucking out.
Also reviewed The Northman. Again, still haven't watched it. Dying to listen to the podcast.
Need to go to the cinema, yep.
Yeah, maybe we just spend a week together watching all the films, Lucy, we've
I
not
think.
Seen.
And then we can listen to the podcast, yep.
And I'm sure that upcoming, when it is released, that we will be doing a podcast on Thor, Love and Thunder, because how would we not? So stay tuned. As usual, follow us on all of the socials. And Lucy and I will be back in a month with another episode of Something Old, Something New. And who knows what's going to happen in that podcast. Could be absolute
probably gonna be
carnage.
Another Hobbit film.
No, I will not. I will never
Emma's
ever.
Watched
I promise you.
Battle of the Five Armies.
I will never bring the Hobbit
and another
to this
thing.
Again. I won't do it to you. I promise. Thank you, Lucy. It's been a delight.
Thank you, Emma. Thank you.
You
for
are
hosting.
Fully in pitch black. Thank you, everyone, for listening.
Creepy as fuck.
It's really creepy. I'm going to go and cry in the corner while Lucy is looking at me in the dark. Thank
lurking
you for tuning
in,
and we will see you next month. Bye.
Bye.